This is Selling It Like It Is. And now, here's your host, Stefan Lubinsky.
And welcome to yet another episode of Selling It Like It Is here on Small Biz America and iTunes. As always, I'm your host, Stefan Lubinsky, and welcome to this episode with my friend, Chris Johnson. Chris, welcome.
Hey, well, thank you, Stefan.
I found Chris Johnson the way I should find people, through search. I wasn't introduced to him. I was on the web, and I was looking for something, and he was smart enough to understand the concept of inbound marketing, and he was on the other end of what I was looking for. And I'm sure I was in the process, frankly, of looking up business blogging and small business blogging and so forth, and I came across a really interesting website called GenuineChris.com, and I recommend that you guys go and check it out, GenuineChris.com. I was intrigued to begin with the name and the title, and I was even more intrigued when I read some of the story and saw that we happen to have some similarities in our backgrounds and what industries we've been in and who we serve and so forth. But I really admire, and I think you will too, when you go to GenuineChris.com, he has a certain kind of audacious upfrontness about the way in which he writes and is honest and talks. Click on his, there's a link in there, it says like my favorite affiliate program or something like that, but anyway, find that link, and I love the way he wrote that. So Chris, tell the audience what I know a little bit about your background and how you became a freelancer and who you're serving.
Sure, man. I bet you found me because you found a site saying something like My Mortgage Loan Officer Business Plan. That's a lot of, if you're ever doing mortgage searches, I'm number 1 through 4 for loan officer business plans at various times. And I'm not even trying. I just have something that a lot of people have linked to and a lot of people have liked about how to plan your business as a mortgage lender. Don't even sell it. It's free. It's yours. Grab whatever I've got on there, but I was a mortgage lender from 2001 all the way up until May of 2008, and a lot of people left the industry. I was among them. I had my best year ever in 2007 when a lot of people were having horrible years because I saw the writing on the wall, and I knew that it was going to be an all conforming kind of world, and I moved my business before then. But then when the amount of work profile and the amount of return that was available changed, it persuaded me to pursue my passion, which is business-to-business sales. I mean, I like being in mortgage because I got to serve realtors, I got to call on, I was doing mostly purchase business, got to call on realtors, got to run it like a business-to-business thing, and that was the part of the industry that I liked, and I still get to do that, doing social media and helping small business do what I did and get customers through social media, blogs, get connections, customers, prospects through inbound search, through being available, through being authentic, honest, yourself. I'm absolutely bent on making sure small businesses know how to communicate on the web and making sure that they can close the knowledge gap as fast as possible.
Who are some companies that we know that are not small businesses? What are some of the big businesses that you think get it?
Oh boy, big businesses that get it. I don't know if you know ScreenFlow, they get it. They're Telestream, that's a software company that makes Mac-oriented software. They are getting it on the web. It's kind of a case-by-case thing. Certain cities are doing a pretty good job getting it on social media.
I'll give you an example of one that I like.
Sure.
That I saw recently on my Facebook, and I don't know why I'm a fan of this page. I'm probably a fan of 4 or 5 pages total, so I don't really collect them up, but I do drive 45 minutes to get my coffee at Dunkin' Donuts for the month, and they have a video now on YouTube that has, 900,000 hits, and 130,000 participants tried to be, part of making a new donut and so forth. So they're on Facebook and they're on Twitter and people are really kind of into it. I think that's a company that's kind of a boring, you'd forget about them company that really has reinvented how they're connecting with people, taking advantage of social media.
Yeah, anytime you're connecting, I mean, anytime you're going to be yourself and put yourself out there, Dunkin' Donuts has a huge competitive advantage. They just have to be have a tiny bit of personality, and people will love it and lap it up because it's a shock having a big stodgy company like Dunkin' Donuts have a little bit of personality. So yeah, I get it. It can go a long way for putting yourself out there and connecting to others through social media is killer.
What about people that don't have much of a personality? And I mean this sincerely. So you have, I mean, and look, you've got a dynamic personality. It's what makes people in sales. And I've got a decent personality, at least that I can put, across for broadcast. There are people that are genuinely pretty, pretty boring or just, you know, shitty in some way. How did they get across this sense of authenticity without people being turned off? How do they tap into what will turn people on versus off?
Sure. Shitty people, if you're shitty and you're on the social media presence or the social media landscape, what you need to do is put information that consumers want, that customers want, that prospective customers want, that is valuable. That's what you got to do. So if you're a shitty financial planner, well, we hope you're not. Anyway,
if you're not at the job, just in your practice.
If you've got a terrible closeted personality, but you put something out there that's the five mistakes baby boomers make about financial planning for their retirement years, that can go a long way in demonstrating that you're a competent person without having to have personality. And if you put yourself, you know, if you create a manifesto or a white paper or something out there that communicates the message that you want people to have at the core of your being, you know, something that you're, you know, even crappy people are passionate about,
sure,
something.
So,
you know, if you're seeing these baby boomers make stupid mistakes or overreact to the market correction or whatever you're seeing, you put it out there, you talk about it, and then you share it with other people, and hopefully that content gets shared and that content gets spread. And you never know. I mean, I didn't know you were, you know, reading my stuff online until we connected after you left a comment on my blog. I don't know if you were reading my stuff for 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 hours. I have no idea. But that putting that content out there, that becomes a performing asset that you can have long term, that will continue to make it easier for you to bridge whatever personality gap you have. So if you don't have personality, you got to have value. Gary Vaynerchuk doesn't have a lot of value, honestly, at the end of the day. I love him. He's got a ton of personality. He's got giant brass balls. But honestly, he's telling you to work your rear end off and connect with people. He's just saying it over and over again, and he's doing it. No, he wouldn't disagree. You know, he wouldn't. He's crushing it because he is. You've got to have one or the other. It's kind of like a curb. If you don't have one, you got to have the other.
Yeah. No, I
think, and if you got both, you're a lethal weapon.
I think that's a really valuable point. There's a lot of people out there. You know, I was heavily involved in video marketing, and one of the things that we realized really quickly was that there were people that were reluctant to do video, and there were for the right reasons, and people reluctant to do video for the wrong reasons. And the people reluctant to do it for the right reasons were the ones that were just, you know, charismatic as like a saltine cracker, and they were just like sweaty and uncomfortable, and it was made you uncomfortable to watch it. And so I think what you bring up is so valid. Number one, play to the strength of the medium, meaning if you don't photograph well, then don't do video. Or do a written blog with lots of great graphics. Take a look at Genuine Chris's. He says graphic intense, really big pictures, bold pictures, graphically pleasing. But if you're not to say that you're not video centric, I know that you do videos as well. But so let's move on to something else. Let's talk about the fact that you've branched out beyond the mortgage business. We're talking now to small business people. That doesn't matter if you're in the insurance business, the mortgage business, the car mechanic business, the dog washing business. But let's think of these as small businesses, your local businesses. Typically what I found is that people have this legacy Web 1.0, if you will, websites where it's the static brochure on the web that really is, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is maybe what I charge, here's a contact page if you're lucky. And they don't really do anything. So talk to us a little bit about, there's a sea of these people with these brochures on the web that, as you also know, are getting no traffic, let alone that there's no connectivity. Even if they got traffic, nobody's doing anything. Talk to us about that conversation you have with the people that we know are out there with these legacy sites. What are the things that you say, look, you got to have these five things or whatever they might be. This is the face of the new website. What is that?
Wow. Well, a lot of questions there. Let me try to unpack that. But the first thing is that you're communicating a story and you're telling stories to people. And an old Web 1.0 website is cumbersome to update. You know, any kind of blog, whether it's WordPress, Typepad, or heck, Blogger, or LiveJournal, you can embed it into your website and tell your story on an iterated basis. The other part of the equation is that Google is absolutely in love, gaga over frequently updated content. So if you're a car mechanic and you were to blog about every single kind of car repair you did, if you just had a truck, you know, you use car mechanic could own their local market forever and have an insurmountable lead on Google if they just blogged about, took you know, got customer pictures permission, took pictures of the car, took how to, you know, how to repair, you know, how to change the oil in a 1987 Malibu, how to fix this. So you can put content on there at the basic level, and anytime you answer a problem that somebody else has had, you're getting closer and closer to winning. Anytime you're of service, you win. All right. So if you create a blog and make it all about you and how great you are, you're gonna lose. If you're doing personal branding about that's, you know, if I was genuine, Chris has a lot of me on there, way probably too much me, but I, you know, you found me not because you were looking for genuine Chris, but because you were probably looking for a loan officer business plan. You're probably looking for GTD tips. You were probably looking for something that I put out there just for free so I could have a way to engage people. So a small business owner needs to, that's the thing that a small business owner's gotta do. They can't just say, hey, I'm great. They can say, they can have their customers say they're great. They can take, if they're not good on video, that doesn't mean their profession is boring. They can take a video of what you need to do to plan for your taxes, what you need to do this or that. You got to be using video. And if you're boring and you're trying to make yourself the star, you're the star. But if you're an ugly, dowdy real estate agent in you know, Tupelo, Mississippi or whatever, and you don't have any charisma, but you still get in front of the camera every single week and talk about how many houses are selling, talk about what's working and what's not in the market to get homes sold, you're going to build trust because you're demonstrating your consistency. So, you know, the old static 1.0 crap, you can't demonstrate your consistency. You can't do anything to... you can't do anything with that. The new 2.0 crap, anybody that can open up a Word document can use and can be all over the web in minutes.
I think some really key points that you brought up that people that can grab a pen and paper should do right now, some notes to themselves. Number one, the fact that you can do videos about what it is you do. The mechanic is a perfect example. If you go to YouTube, it's the number two search engine in the world is YouTube now. So literally it goes Google, YouTube. I know Google owns them. And then Yahoo. So that means more people do searches trying to find a video answer now than they will go to Yahoo to search for whatever they're looking for. And imagine if this mechanic had these how to, you know, he's going to have to change the oil on that car anyway. So if he were to film it because it's, let's say, a vintage car and there's a trick to it, and he were to film it and he's going to do it anyway, and he's being paid to do it, by the way, by his client on that who owns that car. And then post that, number one, on YouTube, or syndicate it via TubeMogul to all the other video syndication sites, and then embed it in his own blog, as you mentioned, WordPress or Blogger or TypePad or whatever. You are now building a content library of value, and you're leveraging existing activities, and you're monetizing or you're remonetizing something that you were doing in the first place. So regardless of what you do for a living, you should think about, are there ways to literally videotape slices of a day in the life of what you do and post those as answers to questions or solutions to problems?
Oh, and it gets even further. You're demonstrating to somebody the level of care and the level of expertise that you already have. You're given the opportunity. You put how to change the oil in a 1976 Mercedes diesel out there. You change the oil in a 1976 Mercedes diesel. I bet you, you know, you could work on my 1997 Mazda, you know, Mazda 3 series. You know, I bet you could work on anything. Yeah. So you're just demonstrating. If you change the oil on 10 cars and you show how to do it, it's boring as heck, maybe, but some dude is going to let you be their mechanic because they see that you know, do a good job changing the oil and do a good job with the routine stuff. They're going to come in for their brakes. They're going to come in for whatever. And it's not going to happen if you say, hey, I'm a great mechanic. Come to my shop. I believe in better prices and good value. I mean, who cares, man? Right. But if you're saying, here's how you change the oil in a Pinto, you know, getting past the why part of that, you know, you can do it.
Yeah. So let's go on to a couple other things that are really important that I see that you display right off the bat. If you go to genuinechris.com, you'll see that right in the above the fold, as we say, and to the right, and as big as you can ever hope to see it, there's what we call in the business a lead capture form. And what it is it's an incentive for people to put their name and email address in there and to download, in this case, a white paper about becoming a freelancer, which I think a lot of people in this economy, and look, Chris is using his head here, I guarantee you when the market changes, so too might that white paper, so too likely is that white paper to reflect whatever is hot and interesting. Right now, there are so many people going from W-2 to self-employed as not a matter of choice, but as a matter of survival, that that here's this white paper, again, not e-report, really kind of raises the bar, makes it a much more intelligent offering, but here's a white paper on how to be a freelancer. It's hot, it's responsive to the market. This is a lead capture form. Talk to us about how critical it is that if you're going to attract traffic, that you need to do something with that traffic, and then talk a little bit about what do you do once you've gotten their name and email thanks to your you know, impressive offer.
All right. Well, you have to have a call to action. You know, the name and email is something, but consumers hate to be funneled. People hate to be funneled. I hate to be funneled. So I put my phone number front and center above the fold, I think, on my website. I put my actual email on my website. I put, you know, I make it really easy to have whatever channel you choose contact me. You know, that's my that's what I do, and that's important. And telling them, hey, Here's something of value to show you, you know, what I do. It's a free white paper on how I made the transition, how I, you know, $120,000 in IRS debt, and that stuff does not go away, no matter what Taxmaster says. That's you know, that's not going to go away. How I made the transition while I had to feed my family of four, keep health insurance coverage, all that stuff, from being a mortgage guy, losing the six-figure job, to a freelancer, you know, working grinding out deals for people. You know, I didn't have the skill when I started. I left because the industry got tougher. It's an interesting story. So the having an offer that you know, it's a better version of a free report. It's something that I made to center on people. Now, you know, if you're whatever industry you're in, there's information that you want. One of my friends is a tax attorney. His name is Phil Hodgen, and he says that the best and smartest thing to do is give 80% of your knowledge away and charge like hell for the last 20%. That's genius. You give 80% away, here it is, and you say, and if you need more knowledge, you got to hire me, and that's what I've done. So I made a class around how to sell stuff as a freelancer. I created, it's freelancerbattleplan.com. It launches on the 9th of September, and it's a class that basically tells you, soup to nuts, what my actual sales process is, how I find, approach, connect, and sell clients online. So, you know, without a call to action,
give us that web address again now.
Oh, it's freelancerbattleplan.com. It's one of the projects that I'm working on, and I'm absolutely gaga over it. I'm proud of it. I tell you exactly what I do to find clients. You know, I'm making, I have active and passive lead generation.
Who's this right for? Tell me who this is right for first. Sure.
Anybody that wants to get into freelancing or get into consulting or do something where they have to go out and hunt for business themselves, and maybe doesn't necessarily even like selling. You know, I like selling, but I also get burnt out when I have to cold call all the time. Who doesn't? You know, so I believe that if you demonstrate your value, approach people correctly, you can have in a month, you know, 30 or 40 people paying you $500-$700 a month to for you to give them the essence of your value, and that's, you know, it's creating you know, it's getting both gigs and engagements, you know, retainer engagements. And I teach exactly what I've done to do that for myself, and I show you my actual numbers, I show you my actual clients, I show you everything that you'd ever want to see, because you know, I want people to know that I'm for real and this stuff works.
And
this
is, what do you charge people for this?
It's one time fee of $79.
A whole $79.
Yeah.
So for everything
I know.
Skirt completely.
Yeah. It's you know, it's kind of a hobby project for me. One of the things that I think is absolutely sacred is the desire that Americans have to go out on their own, to serve people, to be their own businesses. You know, when our nation was created, it was a nation of plantations, farmers, our own businesses, our own little micro businesses that would, you know, come together and create stuff. And we made a ton of progress between 1800 and 1900. You know, when you know, America was settled down and everything was happening. You know, we created an industrial revolution when we were an independent nation of solo entrepreneurs, family businesses. We kicked everybody's rear end. We kicked ass. It was great. Now that we're a bunch of employees, things have changed a little bit, and we've changed the ethos of America. And I want to help anybody that's going to embrace being a freelancer, working for yourself, I want to give you the skills that maybe you didn't pick up because you were working for corporate America.
So, all right, there's these other guys out there, these what we call these gurus, and those of us that have spent any time looking into internet marketing know about it. But now as some of these mainline, main street, offline businesses start to realize that there's a connection between online and offline, and as they explore internet marketing, I'm not going to ask you to call out who to stay away from. But why don't you give us a sense of, you know, you're going to charge $79, and is there a back end to that? I mean, I hope I'm not killing you on this interview, but, you know, $79, are you going to say, you know, hey, guys, listen, for my inner mastermind circle, and I'll hold your hand through the process, it's, you know, it's $3,000, because I'll tell you that you know, there's plenty of those guys out there, and what I'd like to know is, you know, how do you sniff out the real deal?
Sure. Well, the short answer is I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do after the initial 8-week class completes. I haven't really, Remarker blogger Michael Martin says that I fly by the seat of my pants, and I kind of do. I'm focused on making the most value here I possibly can. And you know, will some people hire me for other engagements? Absolutely. Will I turn them down? Absolutely not. But it's not a trick to get people in that. And what I'd say, you know, about internet marketing and opt-in marketing is show me what you've done yourself. Show me your actual, not planned results, not what could be done. A lot of internet marketing and a lot of people that are teaching small businesses are talking about what might work, what might get you business in a perfect world. I am talking about what did work, and that's, I guess, the you know, difference for me. I didn't have WordPress skills. I didn't, you know, I left the mortgage industry. I had one kind of writing gig that I picked up, and that was enough to float, you know, float me and my family for a while. And then I got good at that, did the best that I could, and just started getting other gigs lined up, and that's just kind of how it happened. I did it. I didn't do it by selling worthless crap to, you know, people that were trying to do what I'm doing.
Right. Well, and I think that might be one of the most valuable pieces that a lot of people should think about, is that when they're looking at these so-called gurus, those are affiliate marketers, and they're going to talk about spamming or email marketing. They're going to talk about affiliate links and commissions and cross-selling. And I think the difference here is that what people should understand is what you're offering is literally a course on what you did as a freelance consultant, not how you can build a large list and sell them commissions to God knows what. I mean, that's a pretty big distinction.
Well, yeah, I'm sales based, man. I mean, it's your marketing, the marketing that I do, the inbound outbound stuff gets me at bats. Okay, it gets me connections, it gets me friends. But the bottom line is, I want, you know, my goal is not to be a smash and grab and just have a list that I milk. It's to serve and help people my own way, myself. There's got to be a limit to how many list building strategies and experimental list building and all that stuff. There's got to be a limit to how well that can work long term. Yeah. That's going to be a saturated market if it's not already very soon. What's not going to be a saturated market is helping local small businesses communicate their messages better, do some of the stuff that we've learned from the internet marketers in order to make money. There's a lot of techniques that the internet marketers have taught us that work, that have been vetted and tested. So what if, you know, a guitar shop selling guitar lessons on Main Street wanted to do some of that, wanted to give a couple of free lessons away, wanted to build a list, a local list? That would be pretty stellar, you know? So,
absolutely. And a lot of those lessons, I mean, including that guitar shop should have a Facebook page, a blog, and a lead capture form, and then grow that list and then market to that list with great specials, opportunities, and invitations that they have. So I think that's really the whole point, versus selling these links of other people's products. Grow a list, sell somebody else's product, and commission. I think that gets a little dirty. So,
well, let me give you some actual numbers here. All right, so far year to date, I have made about $67,000 in actually it's more than that now, but it's $67,000 at the end of last week in gross revenue off of Twitter. All right. Now, how big would you think my list would be to get that kind of money off of Twitter?
I have no idea.
All right. My list is, you know, my list is under 2,000 people. Okay. That's and I've helped out a tax attorney that I met on Twitter, and I stalked him. You know, I stalked him, tracked him down, and sold him a bunch of stuff. I helped out. I got a writing engagement. I've got a solar small light manufacturing solar engagement, all from people that I've become friends with on Twitter. So,
well, that's incredible. I mean, that is just incredible.
So, and it's not list building, it's not mechanized, it's not mechanical, it's authentic connections, it's people that I mutually respect and like, and it's people that I watched over a period of time, and, you know, and I see every day all these people say, hey, get 5,000 Twitter followers. My guess is they haven't made what I've made. My guess is they haven't served as many people as I have, and my question is, what for? Why would you need 5,000 Twitter followers? If you're a small business in you know, Hibbings, Minnesota or whatever, you need people in Hibbings to know you. You don't need 5,000 Twitter followers. You could get by with 100 or 80, and you'd be a close friend of those people, and if they all spent $20 a month with you, that'd be $1,600 in gross revenue, whatever. You know, it adds up.
Yep. Well, listen, as we wrap things up, I want to make sure that people know about the websites they need to write down and visit. I think you can learn a lot. I've learned a lot from Chris. I happen to be connected to him on some social media platforms, and when I see him using a new tool like Posterous, he used Posterous. I saw him use it. I didn't know what it was. I checked it out. Now I'm absolutely in love. I'm all about Posterous. in fact, I think it's going to overtake Tumblr. It's a whole other conversation we can have about the future of these social media sites and who's going to survive and why, and I'd love to do that with you. But let's remind them, genuinechris.com is where you'll kind of get the sense of where this all began. I think that was the genesis of everything. I think there's some great white papers that you can get, some great articles to read. There's gorillamarketing.me, but that's not gorilla like the monster. It's gorilla.
It's gorilla me. It's not gorillamarketing.me. Okay. It's gurillailla.me. And if you want to know more about blogs, just go to gorillame.com/blogs, and that'll take you through all the training that you need to know on you know, how to get a blog, how to do stuff with your blog, etc.
And then the last one is the site that's launching on upcoming. You got a new one coming?
Sure, it's freelancerbattleplan.com, and that's a how to productize yourself, how to serve at a higher level, how to act and treat your life like a business, and do, you know, if you do what you don't want to do for an hour a day, you can do whatever you want to do for the rest of your life. You know, that's the whole premise.
I love it. Well, I tell you what, guys, I know, like, and trust this guy. I think you should know, like, and trust him, so go and check his stuff out. I want to thank you for spending a half an hour with me here on Selling It Like It Is, and encourage all of you folks to go and check out Chris's sites. Get in touch with him. He's a good guy. He will answer your questions. And if you don't already have a website and a blog, I will tell you, I recommend people for this package he has, where he'll just do the whole thing for you, customize it, train you. But you can go and check it out. We're not going to sell you on the whole thing here, but I'm telling you, it's good stuff. And check it out. This is Stefan Lubinsky once again, Selling It Like It Is. I appreciate you being here. And remember, it's not what you learn, but what you do with it. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Selling It Like It Is. For more information about Stefan Lubinsky or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com. Small Biz America.